The Boston Celtics did not look good. Ish Smith did. And the Washington Wizards beat the Boston Celtics. What? It's the Tuesday Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie's, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, it's the best way. Melly. Well, that wasn't great. The Boston Celtics falling to the Washington Wizards 99-94. They looked tired, they looked sloppy, they looked slow, and they let Ish Smith go nuts. And I'm going to talk about it. I'm John Corrales of MassLive.com. I cover the Boston Celtics, and I'm here for you Monday through Friday with a fresh, new, free podcast. So if you're not a regular subscriber, go ahead and subscribe. You're going to get this show, like I said, every Monday through Friday. If you're a regular subscriber, reward the effort with a 5-star rating and a good written review, please, because I am giving an effort. Unlike the Boston Celtics, segue and burn all in one. That's podcasting, folks. 99-94 was the final score. Celtics fell behind 26-17. Another sloppy, terrible first quarter. So let's start with that, because I had a theory that Brian Scalabrine, as I was typing down my notes, Brian Scalabrine was saying the exact same thing on the broadcast. I say that so you know I'm not copying Scal. Scal's probably copying for me, if anything. Let's be real here. He's copying for me. But it's kind of funny that we both had the same thought at the same time. Earlier in the season, the Celtics had those slow starts. You remember the Celtics couldn't really get going early on. And Kemba Walker slowly became like a first quarter type of scorer. He was doing a lot of his scoring in these first quarters going off and earlier in the games. And then Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward would start kind of picking things up as more attention was paid to Kemba Walker. These other guys would start going and somebody else would get hot and the Celtics could pull away. Without Kemba, over three games, the Celtics have had three very poor starts. And just makes me wonder if the Celtics have relied on Kemba to kind of get them going. And now without him there, if there's something, is there something to that? Or are the Celtics unable to kind of slowly ease into this game? Do some of these guys like a Tatum or Brown or somebody else, do they need somebody like Kemba to carry the bulk of the scoring while they're each kind of figuring out who's got the better matchup and who's going to go out and score? The thought popped into my head, and it's going to take a bit more research, and it's something to look into, but I don't think it's a coincidence that the Celtics, against some bad teams, have had bad starts. They should have come out to very good starts against Washington and Chicago. I mean, those are games that they should have come out and been assertive. You've got an opportunity here to put these teams on their heels. But, you know, go back to the Atlanta game. Same stuff. You got to come out with that energy, the execution, the focus to put up a big lead, because Washington's a good offensive team generally. And they didn't have Bradley Beal in this one, by the way. Like half their team is hurt, but Bradley Beal out for this game. So the Celtics should have come out strong and really kind of tried to end it right away. Just come out and just say, we're going to put our foot down right away and force you without Bradley Beal to try to come back on us. And then from there, if they want to coast, you go up 15 and you coast. You don't go down 15 and coast. You know? Like, that's... I don't know why they don't have that focus. Now, third game in four nights. And that's an excuse. And I will say, as a sidebar, we always say, like, oh, no excuses. Like, it is a bit of an excuse. Like, you that's still legitimate. You know, we want to speak in such absolutes when it comes to sports. Where, no, absolutely no excuse, blah. Well, I mean, then do you have that same approach with everything in life? Like, if you have a bad day, there's no excuse. No excuse for your bad day either. Like, I don't know. That's just an aside. I'm really in a phase right now where I'm questioning exactly how we look at sports and why we treat sports so differently than everything else in life. It's just a thing. And I'll expand on that at some point. But the fact that these guys had this three game and four nights, so they're going to be tired. So there is a test here. There is a test of mental toughness, this mental fortitude, this ability to kind of will yourself past fatigue. So fatigue is there for sure. Okay. It's a tough schedule. This is a tough stretch. They're going to be tired. They're going to be sore. They're not going to be quite as focused. So that's a part of the setting. What really makes these guys great and what makes these athletes kind of superhuman and why somehow we treat these guys like this is because so many of these guys are able to take this situation and say, you know what? I'm just going to focus. I'm going to really drill down to the basics, the specifics, and say, I'm not going to get caught up in how tired I feel. I am just going to just kind of like open my eyes wide. I'm going to focus on the task at hand and I'm going to power through it. Some people can do that. Some people can't. Okay. Some people, you know, you've seen them at work. They just put their head in their hands and their face kind of melts and they barely squeak by a day. That kind of sort of thing happens in these NBA games. What these Celtics need to do is find that zone. I mean, that's the superhuman aspect of sports. It's not even just running faster or jumping higher or lifting more weights. It's taking a situation like this against a team that without Bradley Beal, you don't kind of relax and go, oh man, they don't got Brad, whatever, I'm good. We don't even have to try. You know, like that mentality where, and that's a real thing, where you find out before the game that they've lost their best player, and obviously no John Wall, no Mo Wagner, no Rui Hachimura, no Davis Bertans, no CJ Miles. And then you lose Bradley Beal on top of it. You probably sit there like, oh, good, I'm tired. I don't even want to go out there and try. Like, this is good. We go out there and half-ass it and just kind of cruise to a win. And frankly, they almost did. It was tied 80-80. And if it wasn't for Ish Smith going off and the Celtics missing a couple of shots, they still, after all of that, could have won this game. They had it right there after everything, after all that bull for three plus quarters. It was 80-80. And then Jaylen Brown kind of was like, yeah, I'll try a heat check after hitting just one shot. And it's a little unfair because he started off hot and then he had real crappy second, third quarter. In the fourth quarter, he kind of turned it up a little bit, but I think he kind of got caught in that moment where he was like, oh, good, I hit a shot. I'll just go hit another one and we can just get out of here. And that goes along with the lack of focus. Instead of working the ball around, say, okay, we've got the momentum. Let's work this thing around. Let's set some picks. Let's move. If I get the ball again, great. But like, he shot that next shot pretty quickly. Lack of focus, lack of execution, lack of a win. And it just boils down to that. the Celtics are going to be as good as we want them to be, as good as they're going to be, this is a type of game where you have to power through. And speaking in the absolutes, the coach speak, the suck it up speak, like that's the fact of the matter. Like that's what you get paid for. And I'm sure this is exactly what some of you were yelling when I was saying this stuff earlier. This is what you get paid to do. This is why you get paid millions of dollars. So you don't have like the screw it kind of day. Even though as much as that's human nature, but this is why a young 20-something year old, you need to kind of like find your focus and get past that kind of stuff. It's so much easier to do what the Celtics did when you're tired, which is not move the ball. You'd think passing and moving and cutting would be easier when you're tired rather than trying to go one-on-one, but like they just, the individual stuff, the I'm just going to take this guy off the dribble because I just can't be bothered to try to set picks and read. Like my mind's not there. I'm not going to read this defense. These guys suck. I'm just going to try and beat this guy one-on-one. I should be able to beat this guy one-on-one. And I'm just going to do that and we're going to win. Like that, all of that stuff, like that's really at the heart of this loss. I'll get a little bit more specific after the break. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
The Boston Celtics had 16 assists in this game, which is not good. Actually, 17 assists. They changed that. They added one. When I went back, when I first looked at this, they must have awarded another assist. So they had 17 assists in this game. Still not good because they also had 17 turnovers, which led to 16 Washington points. Anything, the closer you get to 20 and beyond, turnovers, obviously terrible. 17 assists and 17 turnovers, that's just brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. On 33 made baskets. And as Brad Stevens said after the game, he said something to the effect of, I don't know how many assists possibilities we had in the first half, but it wasn't many. So it goes back to what I was saying before, where you get it to a guy and he starts to cook and he just says, I'm just going to keep going because it's just too easy for me to just do this versus do what I'm supposed to do. So early on, Jaylen Brown, 3 of 8, but he got hot early and kind of carried things. And then it became the Jason Tatum show who in the second, well, he hit a couple of buckets. In the third, I thought he hit a stride. He scored 9 points on 4 of 6 shooting in the third quarter. But you could see it later on when guys were trying to force their own shots, force their own offense, and really not work the ball around. They had a couple where they did, and you know, out of a timeout, they did work through an entire offense. I think that was when Jaylen Brown hit his three in the fourth quarter. And by working the ball around, they actually got an open shot. But you get a little too caught up in the moment there, like I said, and it all kind of falls apart. Ish Smith was a killer. He made some tough shots early and he just kept making shots. You watch his makes and you know, there's this temptation as he's going to be like, will somebody guard Ish Smith? But I will say he didn't hit easy shots. He got a couple because when you score 27, you're going to hit a couple. But he made some tough shots. I mean, that dude is cooking right now. I mean, like I said, 27 points in this game, 14 in the fourth quarter to just absolutely obliterate the Celtics and any chances they had of coming back. But you look at the 27 against Boston, 32 against Denver. He hit 15 of 24 against Denver. I mean, he's been kind of going off. This is not an anomaly. And look, we're sitting here saying, oh, you know, I can't believe we lost to Washington. Denver lost to Washington too. So Ish Smith in his last two games is 27 for 42. So that's up over, that's about like 63, 64%, some in that range. And he's doing almost all from two. He's 2 of 5 from three in those games. He's just really attacking mid-range shots. I mean, he's hitting just about everything. So Ish Smith has been pretty good. Go back to the loss that they had to Portland, 6 of 14. So he's been hitting shots. He's got a 9 of 18 game. They beat Miami a week ago. It's the Knicks, but they beat Miami, Denver, Boston. So the Wizards aren't, I mean, they're horrible, but like they've found ways to win lately. And Ish Smith has been a big reason for that. So tough shots. They have to find a way to stop him. And I thought there were some minutes there in the fourth quarter where the Celtics had Cantor on the floor, and he was, it was one of those Cantor's a liability moments because Ish kind of picked him apart. There was one where he kind of danced in the right corner and then went baseline, and Cantor had no shot. And aside from that being a, like, oh, that's what Cantor does when he's switched onto a guard, but I don't know what bigs were going to keep up with him in that moment. But I thought Cantor was maybe on the floor a little bit too long there. The Celtics were struggling to score, and I think I get what Brad was doing, which was, we suck, we're missing shots, we need the best offensive rebounder in the NBA, which is what he is right now. We need the best offensive rebounder in the NBA to be on the floor and hopefully clean up some of these misses like he has been in the past. I mean, the past few games, Cantor picking up offensive rebounds and putting them back has been a key reason why the Celtics were on a 3-game winning streak going into this game. Maybe not the reason, but a big part of it. So here's Brad looking at the Celtics ultimately shooting, what was it, 30, not even 35% in this game, 21.6% from three. And he's sitting there saying, I got to get my best offensive rebounder on the floor. However, it backfired a little bit, and Cantor kind of got cooked at that point. Was 80 when it was 80-80. I think Ish kind of attacked Cantor two or three straight times, and that was essentially the ball game. I mean, the Celtics still had a lot of time left, but that was part of, you try to weigh it one way or the other, and look, if Cantor does actually get offensive rebounds in those spots and it kind of counteracts what Ish is doing, and it, instead of them going up by six, it was still 86-86, and the Celtics ended up kind of putting it together and winning, then you look at it and be like, all right, Cantor got toasted, but he did all this other stuff. He just didn't do all that other stuff. He had 3 offensive rebounds. He had 4 points overall, 11 rebounds, which is nice. Although Jalen had the 12 to lead the team, but just didn't work. Cantor was not what he had been over the past few games. You can now sit there and second guess and say, I think they probably should have had a little bit more Tice, or they could have gone with more Grant Williams. Now, Grant Williams was on the floor early in the game. If you go back and look at the first few baskets that Ish Smith made, Grant Williams was heavily involved in the defense when Ish Smith was scoring there. So I don't want to say that one of these guys was a better answer to try and defend the rim or switch onto him than the other, because everybody got toasted. Daniel Tice got toasted by Smith. Grant Williams got toasted by Smith. Cantor did. But at that point, the Celtics needed something. They needed somebody to try to get him, slow him down, something. A couple of other guys had tough nights. Jason Tatum, 8 of 20, 17 points, 1 of 4 from 3, 2 assists, no turnovers, a couple of blocks. The 8 for 20 shooting, not great. But I will say that Tatum had a few moves early on, a couple of drives and a post move that were maybe some of the most polished moves that we've seen this season, even. Like, just in control, drives to the basket, where everything had purpose. It was the when he went left, it was setting up to go right, or he just goes in control, and he made some really nice shots. There was one play in, what was it, the third quarter, maybe, in that 4 of 6 run, where he had a left baseline move, kind of post up. Wasn't quite posting up on the block, but started with his back to the basket and then did this kind of spin, bump off of the defender, kind of fade away. I saw somebody tweet, I forget who it was, but somebody tweeted, like, that's Paul Pierce. And it was a very Paul Pierce move. And that was maybe the, when you have this vision of who Jason Tatum is going to be, like, that move is a fantastic example. And the earlier drives are fantastic examples of what he can be. And like I said in yesterday's podcast, I think slowly he's starting to put these things together. We're starting to see that potential. But, you know, he has, the swings are just a little too wild. They're just a little too up and down. Ultimately, they're, the highs are higher and the lows maybe aren't quite as low, but It's like a stock market chart where ultimately you've made money, but the entire time it's like, hey, I'm up big. Oh shit, I've lost everything. Oh, I'm up big again. And it's kind of like that type of up and down, almost like an EKG. It's too up and down for Tatum. That's kind of how it is right now. Gordon Hayward, also not a great game. 4 of 11 shooting, 1 of 5 from three. He finished with 10 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, a couple of turnovers, and a block. But he was never really in control. There were stretches here where I was hoping that Gordon Hayward would kind of take over the offense. And I think they ran it through Marcus Smart a little too much. Now, I know he's the point guard, but the offense wasn't clicking. And maybe Marcus Smart off the ball isn't such a bad idea, because then he can set screens and he can cut more rather than having the ball in his hand all the time. Again, I like Marcus Smart as the ball handler. I think he can be a very effective point guard, but in this game, he just wasn't. So it's not a bad adjustment to say Gordon Hayward's running the offense. He's our point guard, and we're just going to swap spots. Like, Marcus Smart can play that 2-3 position, whatever it is that Gordon Hayward, however you want to classify that, he can play that. He can come off of screens. He can set screens. He can set pin downs. He can come off of pin downs. Like, that's all possible. And I think in this game, I would have liked to have seen more of that with Gordon Hayward more at the top of the key. Go to more of a Utah Gordon Hayward offense and just let him try to cook a little bit. Get him going a little bit. Something different. This is my search for something different that I was hoping would happen in this game. So that's a thought that I definitely had at some point, third, fourth quarter-ish. It was just like, Marcus just a little too much. And I think Marcus kind of bit on the you got the open shot, shoot it bait. He hit 3 of 10 from three. At one point, he was 3 of 7 in the first half. He hit three threes. Those three that he made were all in the second quarter, kind of keep the Celtics sort of close. But then he missed the three that he took in the second half. Just Marcus, keep shooting. I believe in Marcus Smart, and I think that he can get to a spot where he's shooting a decent number. But 10 threes in a game like this, just not really what I'm looking for offensively, the shot selection. So I would have rather have had Hayward kind of running the show, and I'd rather have Hayward take 10 threes. Now, he only hit 1 of 5, so I can't say that he would have been much better than the 3 of 10 that Marcus was. I mean, nobody was hitting threes. Like I said, they shot 21.5% in this game, but just something I would have liked to have seen. A little more positive stuff after the break, including Tremont Waters, who looked pretty good. That's next here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Tremont Waters came into this game in the third quarter and gave the Celtics 5 good minutes, along with Grant Williams. There was a second there where I thought, wow, maybe this recap that I'm writing for MassLive.com is going to be Tremont Waters and Grant Williams lead the Celtics to a comeback win. It obviously did not work out that way. But Tremont Waters came in and hit 2 of 3, scored 6 points, was a plus 2 on a night. This is just third quarter. On a night where not many people were pluses, he had a steal, which was in an open court situation, poked the ball away. I forget who it was from, but it was a very nice play. Tremont, again, continues to show a good feel for the game, an understanding of how to get guys off balance, how to attack, and really an overall understanding of how he's going to get his offense and be effective. He's obviously still got struggles. He missed all 3 of his threes, and that's something that he's going to need to work on. His 3-point shooting, if he can get that to an acceptable level, then I think he can be a more full-time player next year. But that aside, I thought he came in and was just very effective in this game. He still, I think, is a little too loose with some of his passes. I think turnovers continue to be a thing that will plague him a little bit. He only had one in this. I think there might have been one or two that were credited to somebody else. But they were tipped away. I remember a couple of plays where they were tipped away, and I think the Celtics got it back, so it didn't count as a turnover, but it was still a little sloppy. Point is that Tremont, like I said, can really be impactful and run an offense, but some of the passing is a little too loose, a little too free. Kind of rein that in a little bit. But when he came out of the game, I think things started to kind of fall apart a little bit for the Celtics. I would have rather have him in there than Brad Wanamaker, who did not play well in this game. And I just wonder about Brad Wanamaker if he needs like 25 minutes to really show his effectiveness. Just not a great Brad Wanamaker game. And he's been a key player for the Celtics, and they'll need him to, if they're going to make a deep run in the playoffs. But in this situation, I would have rather have seen more Tremont Waters than Brad Wanamaker. I thought he had the energy, and he was very good at getting Washington off balance. Grant Williams, I thought, was very good in this game. He was 3 of 3 shooting. He had a very wide open 3, another 3 now. The Grant Williams, it's going to be an interesting, I think, 5 years from now, an interesting conversation about where Grant Williams' 3-point shooting is, because since that 0 for 25, I think he's now up to like 37, 38% from 3. So, I mean, his overall, I'll look up his overall 3-point shooting, which is not good, but considering that he's coming back from an 0-2 hole, 0-25 hole, getting up to, is up to 18% for the year. That's not bad. let's see. 8 for 45. So take away that 25. He's 8 for 20. That's pretty good. That's 40%. 40% shooting from 3 since going 0 for 25. So obviously his overall percentage, just under 18%, but having gone through that streak and now shooting 40% since, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting footnote in his career. I don't know if he's going to be a 40% three-point shooter, but eventually, if he can level off a little bit and get to that 35 to somewhere in that range percent, then it'll be funny to look back and be like, hey, remember when he couldn't hit a damn thing earlier in the season? But to his credit, stayed confident, was working on it. I remember seeing him before games. He felt good about his shot. There were pregame workouts where he was hitting just about everything. And you can see that it was coming. And he just needed to kind of continue focusing on his mechanics and just shooting with confidence and shooting free. And he's doing it. So another great very good performance from Grant Williams, who continues to assert his hold on his spot there. Shemi Ojeleye did not play much in this game. And so you just wonder if maybe like he and Javonte, who did play a little bit more in the Bulls game, if Brad's kind of holding a couple of guys, like, okay, you might not have it today. I'm just going to hold you out because there's a back-to-back coming in a couple of days, Wednesday, Thursday, Spurs, and then at Philly, we might need you guys. So not playing Ojeleye much, not playing Javonte Green much, just about 4 or 5 minutes apiece there. Maybe those are guys that get the 15 minutes, 20 minutes in those other games. So Carson Edwards had a very uneventful 6 minutes here. I want to believe in Carson Edwards, and it's early in his rookie year, so I'm not going to make any sweeping assumptions. He is struggling with the things that the Celtics need him to do, which is make threes and just defend. So he says all the right things, and he does not seem to be lacking confidence, but I'm sure this is one of the tougher stretches of his career. The good thing for him is that he is locked up and has a guaranteed contract, so he's got time to figure things out. But I think Carson needs to find his groove. And the Celtics have done what I thought they should do, and they send him to the G League, but they're going to need him to get through this January stretch. So he's going to have to find his confidence. He's going to find his shot and just, I don't know whether it's trouble adjusting to game speed or what the size and speed of the opponents, but he's definitely a guy the Celtics could use. And he needs to figure that out. Hopefully Romeo Langford. I think Romeo Langford could have been helpful in this. Hopefully he's feeling better. Obviously, hoping Kemba Walker feels better and he can come back and play against the Spurs. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll get an update. The Celtics are currently scheduled to practice on Tuesday. I don't know if that's going to hold up or not, or if that's just going to become a light type of shoot around or something, but we'll see. We'll find out, hopefully, if the Celtics continue to hold that practice. I don't know. I don't know if that's going to stay scheduled or not, but we'll see. And we'll get health updates, and hopefully the Celtics are healthy moving forward. I'm healthy. I'm here Monday through Friday. I'm going to hopefully stay healthy enough to do this podcast. It's free. It's daily. So if you're a new listener, please subscribe. All of you regular listeners, that 5-star rating, the good written review, super, super helpful. And share the podcast. Tell your friends to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.